collection, kind of wise sayings that have been collected over many, many years by King Solomon. And many of us might know King Solomon as someone who prayed to receive wisdom. God said, you can have anything you want. Can I have wisdom to guide your people? And so this might be a pretty good collection of some stuff that he has. It's not all him, but there's many that are from him. Our scripture passage, Proverbs 31, is at the end of Proverbs. It's the last chapter. These are the last verses. And so right around chapter 10, just before chapter 10, they give it a heading, a title, right? That was the a wife of noble character, right? Or a noble woman or something like that. They have this kind of title. But there's also a title that comes before that, and it's called epilogue. Epilogue, the wife of a noble. Epilogue, right? So what is an epilogue? Finishing statements. The conclusion of the matter. It's the end, right? It's the closing statements. It's the epilogue. It's the end of what I'm saying. I'm wrapping it all up. And all these proverbs are especially helpful in guiding us toward avoiding pitfalls and even recognizing some temptations that we might find ourselves in. And they help guide us into prosperity, health, and security. They help us to live wisely. Anybody in here want to live wisely? Yeah, these are good statements, right? Proverbs is a great book for gaining wisdom. And so listen to how Proverbs starts. We just read how it ended, epilogue. This is how it starts. This is how Solomon starts. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and the riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teachings. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. That's how it begins. That's how Solomon introduces. Here's wise instruction and sayings. These are words that are formed in an acrostic poem. This particular passage in Proverbs 31 is also an acrostic poem. Each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I have a slide of what the Hebrew alphabet looks like. If you can kind of throw that up there for me, Miss Jody. I don't know if you can kind of get that, but most of you are probably reading from left to right and you're already wrong. You got to read from right to left, okay? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, okay? And by the way, yes, each Hebrew symbol has a numeric value, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And yes, like the English language, cursive is different than print, right? Different, right? Cursive is different than print. And so you can even begin to imagine trying to, I don't know, decipher all that. Is that a number? Is that a letter? Is that in cursive? Is that in print? The acrostic part of it is that it's written in an, I think it's anagram, right? Like each statement or each sentence begins with A, begins with B, begins with, right? In the Hebrew alphabet, right? There. A, there, B, there, right? We get that, right? A is for always caring, and B is for the beautiful face that you have, and C is for the compassion that you're right. But we get that. That's how it's written in that style. You translate that to English. It doesn't follow A, B, C, but it does follow the Hebrew alphabet. You with me? Okay, so translating it can kind of get awkward and it doesn't look like it's an acrostic poem, but it is an acrostic poem in Hebrew. And the scriptures themselves, just listen, the scriptures themselves are amazing. And Jeff did just an awesome job last week telling us about the Word of God. Appreciate you, brother, in doing that. You did a great job. We always preach and we teach about the content of what things say, but the scriptures themselves and the way in which they're presented is an absolute treasure. The way God speaks to us through narratives and parables and proverbs and illustrations and symbolism and prophecy. It's amazing. You can have a career just in studying the scriptures themselves. The shortest chapter in the Bible, 117, Psalm 117. Is that correct, Jeff? That's correct. Yeah. The longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Pretty cool. The center chapter, Psalm 118. Just the structure. I have the number here. There are 594 chapters after Psalm 118, and there are 594 chapters before Psalm 118. The shortest scripture, 117, the longest, 119, the middle chapter, 1. Yeah, man put that together, I'm sure, over the course of thousands of years and dozens of writings across many continents. God is way beyond our intelligence and communication skills. And he communicates with us. Now, having laid all that out, I want to be able to try to get you to think along with me just a little bit about the collection of proverbs and the collection of proverbs meaning and being and what it is and how wonderful it speaks to wisdom and about wisdom and even addresses wisdom as a she. And then concludes the entire proverb, the epilogue, the completion of the matter in an ideal woman. An ideal wisdom. For she is wise. And this is what she looks like. You with me? The complete wisdom, the completion of wisdom. I know it addresses the passage about an ideal woman, and we talk about all being an ideal woman, but can we think in terms just a little bit about how Solomon puts all this together, calls wisdom her, and then epilogues and concludes the book with an ideal woman. Wisdom has all these characteristics. Yes, she does. She's the ideal woman. This is Solomon writing again. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver. I'm sorry. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Already sounds like Proverbs 31. Sound familiar? She's more precious than rubies. And nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is at her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honors. Her ways are pleasant. Wisdom's ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold fast will be blessed. Those that hold on to her will be blessed. Are you following me? This wisdom, this description. We'll get to the details of ideal womanhood and motherhood and all that, but the entirety of the character qualities of wisdom are all wrapped up in this ideal woman. Does any woman in here, after reading Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, feel as if they are, I'm not quite all of that? Right? See, all these qualities of wisdom and the characteristics, they bring health and wealth and prosperity. And this is just what some of what comes out of Proverbs 31, the conclusion of the matter. And this is good for everyone. Wisdom is for everyone. Characteristics for everyone. The ideal. This is what wisdom looks like, and she is beautiful. Those that hold on to her will be blessed. This wisdom, this woman, always is involved in meaningful activities, provides clothes for her family, provides food for family, dresses well, supervises the household, has business ability, understands money, is considerate, is charitable, is tirelessly dependable, honest, energetic, and not lazy. We can spend a year just gaining wisdom from a simple acrostic poem written in the Word of God. Perhaps they can guide all of us into what this ideal woman, wife, mother, is an example to follow, an example to be, to strive towards, if you're wise. And just in our passage, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. I don't get too far in the passage, and then I realize about wisdom, about a noble wife that is hard to find. She has value. She has value. There's your first one. Wisdom has value. This Proverbs 31 woman has value. Unparalleled value. A person of great worth. A precious find. A treasure to be discovered. And are you ready? Difficult to find. Women, are you easy? Listen, it can get real in here very quick. Just throw yourself on Instagram, throw yourself on TikTok, throw yourself out of there on Facebook. You just throw yourself out there. It doesn't take me long. I can just go right on the internet and just find all kinds of easy women. A good woman is tough to find. Difficult to unravel. It requires a search, an investment. It requires time. See, easy women are not hard to find. Easy women are not hard to find. Good women are hard to find. Perhaps some wisdom can guide us into some good discernment and to some good choices, and maybe even help us try to discover, are we those people that are difficult to find, we possess rare qualities, or are we easy and dark like the rest of the world? A good woman is rare, precious, and priceless, all the good things that take effort to acquire and to maintain, and they're worth the investment. And women are worth the investment. Listen, I'm not talking about just sex. Sex is easy. Sex is easy. It's fine. Sex is great. It's wonderful. It's fine. But sex is easy. You know what takes effort? Love. Love takes effort. Love takes the time. Love always trusts. Love always protects. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And sex is easy. Wisdom, are you ready? Can tell the difference. If you have any kind of experiences at all, you know that there's a big difference. There's more to being a wife than consummation. There's more to being a mother than pregnancy and giving birth. That's the easy part. And along with this woman that has value, here's your next one. This ideal wisdom woman has virtue. Virtuous. That seems like a word out of the past. That's not a word you probably hear much in high schools anymore. Not much of a topic of conversation anymore. We've kind of just moved right on past that as a culture. I wonder, has God changed his moral convictions? I wonder if God is changing his standards based on the culture in which you find yourself. Virtue seems naive. old-fashioned. What are virtues? Virtues of honesty and courage and integrity, high standards of decency, righteousness, benevolence, friendly, prudence from our scriptures, justice, temperance, fortitude. Those are virtues. Those are virtues that are hard to come by in people today. Why? Because we think virtue is a sex and just about being sex and having sexy and being sexy and you've lost all your virtue. Virtue is so much more than that because that is easy. That is easy. See, it's kind of funny because a proverb never mentions any physical characteristics of a person, does it? It never mentions their virginity. Never mentions their hair color or their eye color or their weight or their height. Exactly what hair color do you have to show kindness? Exactly how tall are you supposed to be before you start showing respect? How much are you supposed to weigh before you ever show courage? These characteristics, they're internal. They have an eternal value. And they're internal, and they show themselves externally. See, you wear these characteristics. You wear these characteristics. You wear these virtues. You wear this value, and you've never looked so good. All of us are extremely valuable. Valuable jewels and valuable gems. Many of us are like diamonds, maybe diamonds in the rough, but diamonds nonetheless, right? Maybe you don't always shine like you're supposed to. And listen, by our own methods, you cannot gain this wisdom. By your own efforts, you cannot gain this wisdom, this ideal woman, this ideal wisdom. You cannot gain it. Nor can you be all of these things all at once. But they define who you are, and reputation precedes you. They make you define and reveal who you are. We cannot, by our own efforts, polish ourselves up to make ourselves pretty enough for God. Only God can do that. We cannot chip away at ourselves to polish ourselves up that we might be better people for our society. Only God gives the wisdom. See, God's wisdom is not found in psychology or sociology or even necessarily thriving through the culture. We must seek and search God and live in His Word and by His Word. It's not complicated. But there's mass distraction all around us that pull us into a variety of different ways and make us think about other things to be, to do, to score, that God says, follow me, do things this way, and you will be blessed. I want to bless you. These are ideal standards to strive towards. This wisdom is found in God, and it's found in Christ. It's found by walking in the Holy Spirit of God. It's gaining spiritual depth and gaining spiritual knowledge. It's gaining God's insight. There's forgiveness for the moments that we have failed. Can I get an amen on that? There's redemption for the times when we have not lived so virtuously. Anybody? I confess. Covered in the blood of Jesus. I don't care what you think of me. Jesus done washed me clean. There's compassion for those that have fallen short. There's mercy from the throne room of heaven for all of us that have lacked discernment. And there's grace for those who have lived in the past unwisely. Thanks be to God, He gives us another chance to shine. Thanks be to God, He gives us another day to sparkle brightly for Him. Thanks be to God, there's another opportunity for you to glimmer in His glory. See, here's your next slide. You cannot find God's wisdom outside of godliness. If you're going to live in a certain way that's not godly, Don't come and ask God to bless your way. Don't do it. You bring more harm to yourself than good. It's hard to find God's wisdom if you're not willing to walk God's ways. You can't walk with God holding hands with the devil. You can't be on the stairway to heaven if you're on the highway to hell. You with me? Wise women have godly husbands. Wise men have godly wives. That's being evenly yoked. And what happens when wise women have godly husbands and wise men have godly wives? Virtue surrounds their household. Wisdom abounds in their household. The Holy Spirit thrives within their lives. But listen, this only applies if you want godliness in your household. If you want virtue in your partner, someone that you can have complete confidence in. If you don't want that, then you don't need God's wisdom. You've got your own. Carry on. The Proverbs 31 wisdom ideal or woman selects wool and flocks and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant's ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard even. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. This Proverbs 31 woman is vigorous. She's vigorous. She's valuable. She has virtue, and she's vigorous. There's your next one. Vigorous, what does that even mean? This woman's strong. She's strong. Physically, she's strong. She's capable. She's energetic. She's enthusiastic. She's dynamic. She's industrious. She is definitely not lazy or idle in any way. See, wisdom is not lazy, and wisdom is not idle. I do not know many good moms that were ever lazy and unattentive. The best moms were always vigorous in their love for their children, even if it meant they were a smother mother. Anybody have a smother mother? Probably the guys probably experience this more than the girl. A smother mother, right? So watch this. I'm out on the golf course, right? I try to get out as much as I can. So I'm out on this golf course. This is just recently, like not even a week ago. It's a perfect setting. Right, I'm trying to. It's an elevated green, right? So that means the terrain is up a little bit high, and you can look out from this green that we're on. You can look out and you can see the water, and you can see the blue skies and the palm trees. And I mean, you just have to take a moment to just kind of. And I had just made putt, so I'm feeling really good. So right, and so it's just a perfect setting, just soaking it all in, loving being out here for the moment, right? And then another guy's about to putt, and he's putting for whatever he's putt for. I don't know. He's about to putt. So we're all watching him, just taking in the beauty of everything. And then up from behind the kind of the crest of the hill up onto the comes this Egyptian goose. You know, I have a picture of an Egyptian goose so that you know. There you go. It's an Egyptian goose, right? You've seen these around, right? They're some of them have come and stayed and not gone away, right? So, but with her baby chicks, right? And so the guy's over here, he's putting, he's not seeing what's going on behind him. And this mama and her chicks just walking right up on him. Like they own the place, and they pretty much kind of do, right? Just walking right up. And then he has to step back. I mean, the whole game comes to a halt, right? And everything's, because it's not intimidated by us in the slightest, with her chicks and just kind of do it, do. Right on through the green, and we're all just, okay, mama, that's good. Take care. Oh, so cute, too. I mean, pretty precious. I mean, how do you not like a fluffy chick like this? So wonderful. And then a black raven comes, right, and lands like 5 feet away on the green over here, right? With all the vigor that this mama goose got, she starts a squawking and a flap. And that raven's gone, right? That's some vigor, right? We were all like, mama, that's mama right there. And that kind of vigor, that's God's DNA. Am I right? That's God's DNA. That's instinctual. That's embedded within them, moms. Dads too, but moms, it's embedded for certain. That's wisdom to protect. Wisdom to know who the enemy is. Wisdom to recognize danger. Wisdom to provide security. Vigorous moms protect. Vigorous moms recognize danger. Vigorous moms secure their family. See, if you're a mom, you can't never not be a mom. Ever. I don't know how many times my mother would tell me, I'm a mom. Not that I knew what that meant, but I know what it meant for her. This vigorous Proverbs 31 woman, she's no domestic goddess sitting around eating bonbons and, you know, watching soap operas. She's a whirlwind of activity and production. Vigorous women are industrious. There's your next one. Industrious. And Scripture describes her working in all kinds of ways. Often for the sake of her husband, for the sake of her family. She is not selfish. She is family motivated. She takes care of business in and out of the home. She deals with real estate, finds deals, makes clothes and crafts. She's busy being a woman, a wife, and a mother. Literally rising up early, going to bed late. And with all the multitasking flying around in her head, it is no wonder she's not insane. But I bet sometimes she thinks she is. Good women multitask. And they have a capability within them, embedded in them, to multitask just the way God made them. Amazing. We have a lot of godly, wise women in this church. And you want to know why this church often feels so much like a family and a warm home more than a cold Bible convention center? Because we got moms. Because we got moms. Loving and protecting the flock. I had a pretty cool mom. And I am a mama's boy. Only a real man can wear pink. And she did all the mom things. Drove me crazy. Drove me crazy. She was always mothering. Nurturing. And she was always a girl. 80 years old, still wanted to dress pretty, put on makeup, lipstick, wanted to represent her and her family well. She was girl all through and through. I had a lot of surrogate moms over the years as well, elementary school, high school, you know, friends, moms would be my mom too, right? I have surrogates here in this church. I know I have surrogate moms in this church because they love me like a mom loves. They love me like their own. I'm grateful for all those moms, always encouraging, always supporting, sometimes driving me crazy. That's what moms do. Even later in life, my mom was very industrious. She would want to help. She was in her scooter, right? She'd buzz around her kitchen. Hey, honey, call me up. Hey, honey, I made you some stuffed peppers. Why? Because I'm a mom. It's what I do. I was thinking of you. So I'm going to feed you. She'd bring cleaning products for the house. And hey, maybe you can have this for your car. And she would wash dishes. And she would try to vacuum. And she was industrious. She couldn't help herself. It was just the way God had made her. There's this wonderful story. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. It's about an angel that is sent from heaven. Sent from heaven to bring back to heaven three most beautiful things that they could find on earth. So the angel descends from heaven, goes milling around the earth a little bit, searching for something beautiful, and he found a beautiful rose. He thought the rose was beautiful and it was fragrant and it was colorful. And then he saw a baby smile. He just thought the giggling and the smiling was just awesome. And he, so innocent and so wholesome, he thought that was one of the most beautiful things he'd ever seen on earth. And then he saw a mother's love for her family. She thought, man, the angel thought, that's unconditional and that is so pure that I got to bring that back to heaven. And so the angel gets on the stairway to heaven, not the highway to hell, gets on the stairway to heaven, backs up, going back up in the head. And as he's going back, he saw that the rose started to fade and wilt. He saw that the baby started to cry because it was teething and it was in pain, it was hurting. Then he turned and looked at the mother's love, still so pure, still so wholesome. It was a love that remained. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is the love remains. The love remains. See, some people grew up believing they could do anything because they listened to their moms. I still believe I could do anything. Maybe I can't be an astronaut now, but I believe I could do anything. So my mom had some sayings. Many of you might even have heard of them from your own moms. I'm going to give you some momisms now. Because I said so, that's why. Anybody? If you're a mom and you've said it, let me hear it. Let me see it. Ah, okay, we got some. Yeah, because I'm a mom. Your mom, that's why. Okay. I don't care who started it. Sure. Your face is going to get stuck like that. That one back there too, right? Yeah, yeah. Don't make me come in there. Yeah, okay. Have you said it or has it been said to you? Both. Both. You know what? I am not running a taxi service around here. There's another one back in there. All right, very good, right? I don't know is not an answer. I got that one from my dad more. I don't know is not an answer, right? Money doesn't grow on trees. No, here, this is classic. You will eat it, and you will like it. Okay, Ma, more Brussels sprouts. My mom was classic for this one, too. If I kept asking, kept asking, kept asking, kept that. How do I say this right? What part of no don't you understand? What part of no don't you understand? Classic momism, for sure. Don't get smart with me. Yeah, I was an adult and she'd say that to me. Don't get smart with me. Okay. I brought you in the world, what? No, yeah, so moms in here. Yeah, some of the moms. Yeah, they know. They know. Don't sit so close to the TV. Don't sit so close to the TV. Okay. Oh, here's one. Oh, okay, honey. Have fun. Be careful. That's a mom for you, right? That's a mom's mother. Oh, this is a classic from my mother. Danny, David, Stanley, whatever the hell your name is, get over here. She just rattled off all the kids. Anybody else? Come on. Yeah, okay, we got some. Sure. I've kind of learned it's difficult to kind of intimidate my mom. I could spook her or scare her some, but I really couldn't intimidate her. You know, it's difficult to intimidate moms, whether they've seen it all, they've heard it all, they've smelled it all, they've cleaned it all, and they would do it all over again. That's mom. Thank you, moms. We love you. She is clothed and strengthened with dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is upon her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things. You surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The Proverbs 31 woman knows her identity. This is probably getting close to your last one. Proverbs 31 woman knows her identity. This noble woman, this wife, this mother is godly. She draws her strength from the Lord. Wisdom rolls off of her tongue, not ridicule. Wisdom rolls off her tongue, not judgment. Wisdom rolls off her tongue, not discontentment. Wisdom. Faithful instruction can be found from her, giving honor and respect to her husband and to her family. And listen, there is no gender confusion going on here. There's no gender confusion going on here. She knows who she is, and she knows what needs to be done. She embraces all that she is. She rises to be all that God wants her to be. And she finds value, she finds worth, she finds significance, and she finds influence just as God has made her. She's not an embarrassment to herself. She doesn't try to deny who she is. She embraces it. She finds meaning in all that God has commanded her to be. She's a bright spot in the kingdom of God, and she's a light to her family. There's no gender issues here. And a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, and a woman who seeks the Lord is to be praised. A woman who honors her family to be praised, and a woman who honors her husband is to be praised. A woman walk uprightly and confidently is to be praised. We praise our mothers this morning. Happy Mother's Day. The 3 a.m. feedings, the dirty diapers, the spit up and the drool, the sleep deprivation, the stretch marks, the hormone swings, the anxiousness and the worry for our safety. Thank you from all of us that made all of that possible. Thank you. If you're a mom, we have a rose for you. If you're a mom, would you stand with me, please? Because moms are in the doghouse today, and we want to pray for our moms. We have a rose for you, so you're going to have to stay standing. We'll distribute some of the roses, and then we're going to pray for our moms. I didn't forget, did I?
No, I'm surprised.
You're surprised. What surprise? Surprise. How about, does anyone want to help? If you're not a mom, help pass. I'm definitely not a mom.
I'm trying to take a bunch of each color because you know how that's going to go.
I'll start way over here. That's pretty nice. That's pretty good. Look at that. I'm going to try not to lose control of the crowd. I can lose control of the crowd really quick. All right. Very good. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise. That's kind of like Old Testament stuff even, right? Honor thy father and thy mother. All right, just the moms holding their roses. I know this, I'll take the story of the angel, and I know this, as much as we love you, the rose will fade. And I really don't wish to remind you of anything that would fade, but I also know this, the reason that you're holding the rose is because you have a mother's love. And may that never fade. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we just come before you with gratitude upon our lips, thankfulness in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for this special day to honor mothers. And Father, we would pray that you might pour out your blessing upon each and every one of them. And Father, wherever their hearts are at, aching and hurting for the lost children, aching and hurting for emptiness in the depths of their own hearts. I pray you would bring them comfort. And Father, for those that are thankful and their children are still around them and grandchildren still, might you continue to bless each and every mom in this place with your presence. Meet each and every one of them where they are. Bring them peace and comfort. And Father, we will do our best to honor them and praise them. But Father, would you bring them honor, bring them praise, and pour out your blessing upon each and every one of them. And may they shine brightly for you, to bring you glory and honor. In the name of your Son, we would pray. Amen. God bless you, moms.